The OTB Brief. Everything you need to know about sport every morning. Need to get on top of the day's sports news? Well, the OTB Brief is the only sports update you'll need every morning. With all the breaking stories, post-match reaction.
I always look about, you know, teams who've won a league, their mindsets, their body language, their hunger, desire. And I see that so much in this Liverpool team.
And the best bits from off the ball, all in a 10-minute podcast.
Rory McIlroy's game has changed a lot.
The OTB Brief. Weekday mornings from 7:20 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. Listen on the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Football. On Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power.
Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunleary.net.
Our next guest has had a hell of a career, really. And number two on the all-time list when it comes to League of Ireland appearances, only Al Finucane has more. I saw Paul Fennessy pointing out in the 42. So 20 years in the League of Ireland, 5 league titles, 5 FAI Cup wins, and most European appearances of any League of Ireland player in Europe, 54, if you're wondering. And he bowed out at the top as well after a Europa League game against Arsenal. He is now former Dundalk goalkeeper amongst other teams. Gary Rogers, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks very much. That's a nice build-up you gave me. I'm not used to the former just yet, but that's the way it is, I'm afraid.
It's funny. That was the first question. How's that former sounding?
Well, it's unusual. It's probably, look, I've obviously seen it written that you're former, but yeah, it's unusual to hear that, but it's certainly very much the case for me now anyway.
You die twice, obviously, as sports people. So what's part two going to be? What's the new life going to be?
Yeah, it's hard to know at the minute. Part two at the minute is lockdown like everybody else in the country. It's probably not the best time to be going in search of your new career. But look, I'm a couple of different options on the table that I'm considering and looking forward to obviously new things. I think, you know, I'm glad to kind of bow out in the manner I did. And at the time I did, I just felt that it was right and a good time to go, really, off the back of the FAI Cup win and obviously the last game against Arsenal in the Europa League. So I think that's as much as I can ask for, you know.
Mm. And I wouldn't press you to reveal your plans, but are they in broad terms, are they within sport, within football, or could we be seeing you putting on a suit and tie?
Yeah, I don't know about suit and tie, but yeah, not really within football at the minute. I'm looking at, you know, stuff outside of football because, look, I just think I need to take a break from football from now because, you know, just, you know, that system, I suppose, that you've been in of, you know, tied to the League of Ireland schedule for the last 20 years. And I just think, you know, it'd be nice to be able to go away for a family weekend. You know, you can't really go anywhere now, but just not to be tied to that same sort of fixture list and bank holiday Monday games and all the rest. And I just, I'm going to try and dip my toes into the real world, first of all, and just take a break from football for now.
The real world is no fun. Stay away as long as you can. But
so they say.
It catches up. I didn't realise, by the way, you were so immersed in GAA. Like, I know you're stepping in there to help the Monaghan GAA backroom team. But even mid-20s in that piece with Paul Fennessy was where I saw it. Kind of 27, 28 years of age, when you weren't so sure about how the football was going, you played a couple of league games with Meath under Colm Coyle. So you were handy. I mean, you were big into your GAA as well.
Yeah, I would have played GAA all the way up underage and even more so than football because, like, I suppose where I am, it's steeped in GAA. And I was actually on the senior panel under Sean in 2000. And, I would have been centre forward, half forward, sort of, that would have been where I played. I didn't really play in goals in Gaelic much at all, really, only played minor in goals because I was injured. But I loved my football growing up and I got to go back and play a little bit this summer just to go back and enjoy it. But yeah, it is, look, I suppose being from Meath and I live right beside the football pitch, it was part and parcel of my growing up.
Wow, didn't realise that. Nice to get a year under Sean Boylan, living legend.
Yeah, Sean is great. He's brilliant, brilliant man. And just even to be in around and that team at the time, it was like, you know, the 99 team. And I was there in 2000, so they were after winning All-Ireland. You had like Geraghty and Trevor Giles and John McDermott, these guys that I would have looked up to. And Sean was just brilliant and his enthusiasm around the place was infectious. And I think you can learn a lot from, you know, the way he deals with people, young players and senior players and everyone else. He was brilliant, you know.
So when you're going in with Monaghan, presumably that's to work with the goalkeepers. I mean, these days the most important thing is almost the kick out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's become an integral part of the game these days, and it's huge for every successful team to have a really good kick out strategy, but also a good goalkeeper that can deliver that plan. And it's not so much about shot stopping as our game. Like, you know, football is predominantly you're trying to score a goal, but in Gaelic football, it's about, you know, retaining that ball and giving your team a platform to go and win the game.
Your career was it blossomed, didn't it, in your 30s? I mean, in many ways, you had the good, the bad, and the ugly of League of Ireland experiences. Shelburne, way back in 99, third choice. That was that great Shelburne double winning side, I think. And then Drogheda, Dublin City, who went bust, as can happen in Irish football, unfortunately. As I mentioned, at 26, 27, you're thinking about maybe going back to the Ga. And then Tony Cousins brings you to Galway. You win your first league title of five with Sligo in 2012, aged 31. And then Dundalk happens and you win 4 in 6 years and a bunch of FAI Cups as well. So when you got around to it, things went very well. So the 20s were interesting.
Yeah, I think you probably learn a lot. Like, as a goalkeeper, you're always learning. I think, I suppose the most important thing for me was to be playing football. I love to play, and I would have no interest in being a sub goalkeeper, playing second fiddle. So I was always hungry to play games. And I think, you know, in my early 20s, that's what I did. I got great experience playing with Drogheda, and I played with Galway United and St. Pat's in 2009-10. And it wasn't really until 2012 where I won my first league. I'd been knocking around the league a long time at that stage, and that Sligo Rovers team, you know, was probably good enough to win a league in 2011, I felt. And Paul Cook kind of recruited well for the 2012 season, and he signed all the players, and then he left and went Akron to Stanley, which was a kind of a strange experience. But Ian Barraclough came in and led us to a league title, and a guy, you know, really good times in Sligo with the winning the league that year. And we won the FAI Cup the following year and Stanta Cup before I left and joined Dundalk, which has been, you know, it's been brilliant. You know, when Stephen Kenny made the call to bring me there, I was delighted to get it, because it was, you know, I was contemplating moving home to build a house at the time as well. So it all kind of fitted in well to what, you know, we were planning at home.
The League of Ireland can be precarious place at times. So through your 20s, you know, and you mentioned there even going home, will I go home and maybe build a house and get life started, through your 20s, or for the vast majority of players, how easy is it to get mortgages? How easy is it to build a life for yourself on the back of a League of Ireland career these days?
I think more so in my early 20s, that would have been more difficult. Just that the culture of having a solid job that's, you know, more reliable and dependable, and you couldn't really call the League of Ireland a dependable source of income. I think it has probably changed a little bit in terms of a lot of people now in everyday work are on contracts like we would be in the League of Ireland. And I think later I was lucky enough that I knew a guy in EBS, Alan Sweeney in Dundalk, and he really looked after me in terms of getting my feet on the floor or getting me moving in terms of mortgage, because he realized, look, I've had 10 or 15 years of a career, so there is that kind of that regularity of earning wages throughout my career that, you know, we could stand over him, and he probably helped me in terms of getting mortgages and stuff like that. But it is hugely difficult, and it is a question that I would have got from players in my dressing room and players in other dressing rooms, through the PFAI and stuff like that, where you'd be looking to, lads are at a certain stage in their life, they're looking to get mortgages and to build houses and buy houses and stuff like that. And it is difficult, and our, I suppose, contractual situation in the league, it doesn't really help that, because you've, you know, a huge variety in terms of which club you play from, whether it be a 32-week or a 40-week, or if you're lucky enough to be a 52-week contract. And look, I've been lucky enough, to be on the recipient of 52-week contracts between Sligo and Dundalk and stuff like that. So the game has been good to me, but it is difficult. It's not for everyone. It's not that easy at times as well. So there is huge challenges out there in that regard.
Yeah, a vocation as well as a career. So in terms of on the pitch and the quality on the pitch, in your 20 years, I mean, it's an amazing spell of time. So across 20 years, how has the League of Ireland changed on the pitch?
I certainly think there's been improvements. I suppose the style of play has certainly changed, and you know, maybe the age profile has changed. And I've probably done a good deal to help that this year by retiring, because I was dragging the numbers up there.
Yeah, you've knocked about 4 years off the average, apparently, just you.
Yeah, exactly. But it has, and it really is, you know, a league for young players. And I think with, you know, the academy structures that are going into place in clubs, and clubs now having to have underage teams, I think that will help the development of our younger players, and hopefully that will lead to, obviously, you know, better quality players coming through. But if you look even over the last 10 years, and you know, for Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk to qualify for Europa League group stages 3 times is a phenomenal achievement, considering, you know, the I suppose what has been put into the game here in terms of support from the governing body, and like, I think what clubs have done and players have done, because players have invested in themselves to try and get the best out of their careers. And I think that's been hugely positive. And it's probably a thing that, you know, people don't really realise, but, you know, there is huge quality in our league. And you look at the number of players that have gone on to the national team in recent years and have represented Ireland coming out of our league. It's been brilliant. And there is, you know, as I said, there is good quality in our league. And I think it probably just doesn't get the respect it deserves because of, you know, everything that you see around it in terms of the infrastructures and the way it's been run hasn't really helped to kind of promote that.
Mm. No, I think that's a very fair point. And you look at the body shapes of all the players now, their fitness is all immaculate. You know, you can tell they're lean and they're agile, and that wasn't the case 20 years ago. It just wasn't. I know sport across the board has improved in 20 years, but the League of Ireland now, just as at a glance, has improved in that respect. And some of the quality of goals we see are through the roof. You know, Jordan Flores seems to score one every 3 months that goes viral. What about off the pitch then? Off the pitch in terms of facilities, be they dressing room, be they fans and toilets, be they how the stadiums have been upgraded or not. And then obviously, look, there's been the FAI thing in the background, which, you know, you can't fully separate from the league as well, which has been a complete fiasco. But how has the League of Ireland changed in 20 years off the pitch?
It depends which club you go to, whether you decide how much change has occurred. I think if you go to certain clubs, you know, facilities are not improved from when I set out 20 years ago. Like you look at even Oriel Park, it hasn't changed. And there's been really good investment in terms of, you know, the training facilities there in the YDC and video rooms and dressing rooms there for players for training and stuff like that. But the actual ground itself, you know, with the exception of the pitch being put down, it is in no better shape really than it was 20, 30 years ago. And I think you go through a lot of the clubs. I know there are exceptions, like Sligo Rovers have done terrific work in the showgrounds, and they're a club, you know, they really lead the way in terms of, and they're great at getting funding in order to improve the facilities there. But, you know, there's a lot of clubs are in the same boat as Dundalk in terms of their facilities. There's not really much improvement in it, unfortunately. And like, that is where I suppose you look at some of the clubs up the north, you look at Linkfield and their facilities, and even the pitches and facilities in the north, they do get government funding, if you like, you know, for their facilities. It's certainly something that we're lacking in terms of, you know, that financial aid and support that you would get not only from the governing body but from government as well to kind of improve facilities. I look at even, say, my own parish here, where we have 3 Gaelic pitches, and up until recently we had no soccer pitch, and that pitch has just gone in last year. So there is, you know, there is disparities there in terms of funding as well.
Yeah, I you know, it's something we must do a piece on the show soon, because it's the same in every town right across the country, that the GAA pitch has a clubhouse and too many of the soccer teams are still in porta cabins, and I just don't know why that's the case and it hasn't improved. But it's a countrywide problem, I think.
That's a fancy pitch you're playing in with the porta cabins. We don't even have that here.
Yeah, but it's mad. Like Leinster senior league teams and nothing, you know. And always the GAA pitch has the clubhouse, and the rugby pitch is better facilities. So I don't know what's gone wrong. Well, a bit of an idea. We can come back to that another time. 4 in 6 years league titles with Dundalk. It's so the easy presumption for me is that that's the really enjoyable part of your career. Is that how it felt day to day?
I think so. Look, you know, it's great to have that success, and in amongst that as well, there was failures in terms of, look, we'd lost cup finals, opportunities to win back-to-back doubles. We'd lost the league title to Cork. It was brilliant rivalry there with Cork City for a number of years, and they really pushed us. Obviously, that rivalry has kind of been replaced this year, last year, with Shamrock Rovers. And yeah, look, it's been really enjoyable. And I think, you know, the ones that you lose make you more determined to come back the following year, because, like, you know, when you've been at the top, you're always written off and people question you and challenge you, and are they still as good? And I think, you know, to a certain extent, we've been able to kind of rise to them challenges and I suppose meet that criticism head on when we've had it and come back and prove the point. And I think, you know, that Dundalk team over the last number of years has been, you know, been to a man, has been brilliant. And, you know, they put huge effort into it as well. Like, there's massive sacrifices that go on for players day to day in order to achieve them goals that we have.
Mm. I'm sure you meet lots of people who said, what's Kenny like? Or what's Kenny's secret sauce? Or what was it that set him apart? What answer do you tend to give them?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think, you know, Stephen is he's a brilliant man manager. I think most people will agree with that. But he just challenges it to not accept, you know, run of the mill stuff. Like, he wouldn't set a target for you that, you know, easily achievable. He'll always, you know, want you to reach for higher and you know, to aim higher, and don't compare yourself with, say, somebody in this league. You'd be looking at you to challenge yourself and compare with, say, maybe somebody playing a Bate Borisov or a higher standard. So that's where you're aiming to compete when you do face them challenges in the summer. There was always a massive emphasis in European football. In order to do that, you had to, like, winning the league or being challenged for the league was accepted, and that was your run of the mill, basically. But challenging in Europe and performing there, that's where you were aiming for, and that's where you wanted to kind of do your best and, you know, achieve, I suppose, what we did achieve on a couple of occasions.
Mm. And how badly have things gone awry? Maybe you're a bit freer to speak in the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, last year, I suppose, it wasn't you know, what we wanted in terms of league. Now, it's a funny year in terms of, you know, the season being basically tore up halfway through, and then you're coming back and you've only got 13 or 14 games to go. So, you know, it is difficult. And when you don't start well in them first couple of games, you give yourself a mountain to climb, and there's no real wiggle room to kind of claw back the points that you've lost, which I think the previous year in 2019, we were 13 points behind Shamrock Rovers early in the season, or win the first round of games. And we went in a run of 13 games. So that opportunity wasn't there for us this year to kind of, you know, to come back. And that made it more difficult. I think we probably showed a little bit more of our true selves when it came to the cup, because, you know, we knew we couldn't win the league. It was very evident, I suppose, early in the campaign, and we weren't really competing in the league. So the cup became a real focus for us, and obviously Europe. So, you know, we were lucky to you know, to get to win the cup final and obviously qualify for the group stages of Europe, which has been a really bad year, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, well, when you put it like that, yeah, it's true. And actually, the European campaign, A lot of really good moments here or there, and like the points tally doesn't look good, but Arsenal obviously are going to be a distance ahead of a lot, but it's not like Dundalk were being outclassed by those other sides in these games, even if the result didn't quite go their way. Like, it was a very decent showing again.
Yeah, I think there was good performances in there, and we scored plenty of goals. Obviously, we conceded plenty too, but I think I suppose you go back to the first game, and that really sets the tone for you. 1-0 up against Molde in Tala. Mm. You know, having no fans there, it doesn't help. And football is not the same without fans. I don't think there's anyone that will argue that point. And that has been badly missed in every sport. And you know, it's been, the sooner the better that you know, fans get back in the door. You know, I think we'd be all grateful to see that. Mm. But I think that game, where, you know, we're 50 minutes into the game and we're 1-0 up, and we end up getting beat 2-1, and it's a deflection and a dubious enough penalty. And I think if you go and win that game, it sets you up to qualify out of the group, because Molde went and qualified, and I don't think that Molde were that much better than us, like. And there was opportunities for points. Okay, Arsenal are going to beat everybody as they did, and you would expect that of a team of that quality. But, you know, the other games were certainly ones that we probably could have and should have took points. But again, I think, you know, go back to the first game against Molde, we were the only team that played in Europe on Thursday night that had a game in their domestic league on the Monday. So that doesn't help you. And I think in order to, I suppose, progress in in that level of competition, you need everything to be going your way, and you need every bit of help you can get, whether it be fixtures or whatever it is. And look, it's not an excuse. You just need that to progress.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're against a side with a budget five times that of Dundalk, so you need the weighing scales to be evened out in other ways. So as you depart then, 20 years, extraordinary longevity and a bunch of medals and I'm sure amazing memories. You leave a little bit sad, but ultimately proud of your career, I hope. Is that the overwhelming feeling, or is it sadness? Where's your head?
Yeah, no, I'm really happy actually to kind of, obviously I'd like to be able to do a little bit more than we are at the minute. But yeah, no, I'm really happy, I suppose, to finish up. In the way I did, and obviously, look, when you look back at your career, and obviously you do a little bit of looking back over the last month or so, when people are more kind of talking about your career and great nights and all that sort of stuff, and it's kind of good to look back and kind of maybe appreciate more what you had achieved. And look, there was huge enjoyment in that, and great nights in Europe, and great friends made along the way, and obviously, look, a few medals too, which certainly it makes it a little bit easier.
Well, listen, I'm sure when fans are back in, you might head back for a wave goodbye to the Dundalk fans. I'm sure they'd like to give you a send-off. But for the time being, Gary Rogers, congrats on a brilliant career. Thanks so much, Gary.
No problem. Thanks very much, Joe.
Cheers.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.